Blog Talk Radio.
Late Night Poets is a group on allpoetry.com,
And these shows are supported by anthologies available on Amazon.com, filled with poetry from poets around the world. So feel free to check those out and help support the arts. That said, tonight's show is based on some carryovers from the last Art of Seduction show, and plus poetry from a contest called the Midas Poet. Turn your 2021 gold winner into more gold. So that's the gist of tonight's show. I'm going to check the studio real quick here. Oh, we have a caller. Moo. Hello, Pam.
Hey, Gray. How's it going?
It's going good. Thank you. How are you?
Oh, all in all, I'm doing pretty good. I have to say, you know, it's been one of those days. I don't know if you ever have days like this where the body and the spirit is just tired. That practically just slept all day. And I was going to go to bed early. I laid down at 7:30. I said goodnight to everybody in LNP. And then I woke up, and I didn't even wake up. I just didn't fall asleep. It's like, okay, well, I guess my body has said I've had enough sleep for now. So I thought, why
right.
the heck not call in and hang out with Gray?
Well, that's awesome. Thank you, Pam.
Yeah. Always fun. And I looks like you're going to have a great lineup of poetry tonight.
Yeah, we should, for sure. Okay, so I'm going to post the first one up here, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
Oh, I'd be happy to. All right.
Thank you.
This is Serpentine Fingers Muse in a Carnal Delirium by Tara Solomons, and it goes like this. Serpentine silhouettes spill upon Satan's satin sheets. Monet brushes leak. Together we press salt kisses against cream thighs. Together we sin in legato spoon dusk into papered cups. Feel, unfeel, milk clots trace neath flute, lines on nether lips slow meet, rolling hips dancing, endante in tango beats, striptease, two rabid dogs o'er meat grills and saliva pools we kiss, melt candle wax upon flesh mounds, Alamanda, breath inhale across landscape, temple level, temple levee, finger crepuscule, bleach lust, sapiosexual ballerinas biting into cerebra, teeth, tongue swirling or amygdala, foaming at mouth, vintage eyes, spitting o'er dream jars, together, detonate, black lace poised for archery in delirium, shipwreck, end poem.
Beautifully read, Pam. And how seductive is that poem? You know, filled with incredible imagery and detail. I thought it was just fantastic. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely thought this was beautiful. I felt bad because some of those words I unfortunately stumbled over. But the rite itself, I truly admire. I really like the sense of movement in this, and I like how it gets on the dark side, almost like the idea of a sensual experience between two strong-willed people. And I like how it becomes almost like a dance of give and take, and it definitely has a wonderful imagery all the way through. And it's very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That was a great comment. Okay, so I'm going to put the next one up here. And this is by Kenny W. 2. It's called First Love. You cling so tight. Is it just for warmth in the night? Leaves for a bed on the cape or light from moon above shining in. Top of your head beneath my nose. Your body shifts slightly. Still, side to side. Your arms around my back. Your breasts rest below my lit ribs. You stir as the wolves afar do howl their song. I check for my club beneath our mammoth fur. Am I protecting me, us, or something more? I sniff your head, breathe right in, lips on you, pull you closer still, grunt, and yes, you quietly grunt back, and somehow I can feel your smile. What is going on here? We have no words. Other mates have come and gone. I close my eyes and wonder, are you what will be called the one? End poem. I thought that was a beautiful, right? Descriptive storyline, fascinating caveman situation, and you know the need for no words. And then he closes his eyes and wonders, "Are you the one? Are you what will be called the one?" You know, pondering the depth of that situation. I thought it was wonderfully written. Pam, what did you think?
I really like this one, and you know, I was noticing that, it seems to be written like the idea of two people who live in a time when people lived in caves. And I find that really intriguing that he went with such his way back in history, right? And, you know, I thought that was a creative approach to the prompt. But I also felt like it's a great reminder that the love, the physical and the emotional attraction between people has been around since the beginning of time. And not only that, but the idea of the questioning, you know, is this the one? Is this the person I'm supposed to be with has been around since the beginning of time? And I do think, too, that this had just wonderful imagery. And I like how he made this very authentic with the idea of the communication with the sniffing and the grunting. And, you know, I thought it was just really well done.
Fabulous comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, the next writes up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
Absolutely. The Night We Dreamed by Liquid Mind Forever. And it goes like this. Lest we ever forget, lest I, with irreversible regret, lackadaisically forget, let me imprint upon forever my self-imposed indenture as Cupid's arrow adventures deep into the wood, where captured like a silk moth I lie, a serigraph of silent gratitude. Pan flutes resonate as your breath, curlicue hairs whisk past December dreams, and I know beyond knowing I am in love, insatiably in love, with snowflake freckles inlaid upon your apricot cheeks, and I will speak to each, to you, to Picasso portraits of goosebumps, as I dare, I clump them into one lump and save them for a hot summer's day. I watch, and as I watch, I look and double take, unsure what to make of the break in the silvery crystalline shadow, ice skating inside your inside, our inside time's blue iris, timeless eyes pulling me under. You slumber half awake. I f-stop the lens of mystery to capture periwinkle butterflies, where you and I first esky junipers whisper to us in Colorado drifts of snow. I know we'll build our lives together, forever knowing nothing, and no one ever will dissever our vows from light and chiaroscuro sounds. You turn over away from me, away from portents, and you exhale and flowers stop, held in absentia. My fingers tempted to touch tender petals, moist with dew, but I feel you and stop just in time. My mouth must kiss the artist's snowflake before it melts, and I live with this regret, unable to forget how we met and slept as one giant morphodidius, end poem.
That was fascinating, right? Filled with incredible imagery, and you can feel the connection that she has with her partner, especially when that line where she says, How we met and it's left as one giant morphodidius. And I had to Google that, and I'll be honest. You know, it's a butterfly. So it's just beautiful. Just such fantastic imagery. and emotions throughout this. What did you think, Pam?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you Googled that, because if you hadn't, I wouldn't have. And, you know, that obviously really helped because, you know, and it makes sense for it to be a butterfly because it fits in with a lot of the other imagery. I really like how there is a tenderness to this, you know, and a nostalgia. You know, Liquid Mind Forever always has a voice that's uniquely her own, a beautiful use of imagery. I like how she brings, it's almost like two people taking together like a winter getaway, you know, and I like how she mentions that they're in Colorado, which I think Colorado to me has to be like, with the mountains, the Rocky Mountains have to be one of the most beautiful states I've ever seen, besides Wisconsin. You know, just have to throw that in there. But I like that she's put the F-stop line, I F-stop the lens of mystery, almost like the idea of, you know, the F-stop camera and the idea of looking at somebody or looking around at the moment and just capturing it with your mind's eye. And I really thought Apricot Cheeks was very creative because it kind of gives the idea of a blush without going cliche and using, say, like the word pink or red, you know. So really just absolutely a wonderful, delicate and passionate write and very well done.
Well, that was a beautiful comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, so I have the next write-up, and this is by Diane D., and it's called Canvas Heat. Tend me their thirst, a nectar of fruition flows from a lily's breast and incarnates as ivory lockets claw skyward as his palm graces o'er her. Flightless, lay her fins and flutes onto the flows, carve into the wilmhead core, begonias dance within her poetry, beckoning his amatory pulpit. Frothy periwinkle bubbles swath the enamel. She moans piquant nuggets of sugar and honey. Accordion spindle their brash consent. Cagey canvas heat in a saucer swig. Tis beads on pearl anklets that peak. Intertwine a stroke of vehement vortex. Champagne hovels transform. Milky lacquer deepens the shades, igniting cornucopia. Lust elicits a goat horn overflowing with flowers, fruit, and nuts. Bamboo huts hid steamy hue. Wow, that was a fascinating write. The language that she used is just very detailed and full of imagery. I thought it was just a fabulous write. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely beautiful. She just has, Diane D. is just a very impressive poetess with a wonderful use of imagery. And I like how this comes across as the idea of an artist painting his subject or her subject. But there's, I like how there's flowers, imagery of flowers brought in here. I also like how there's imagery of food. I've seen references to sugar and honey in Central Rite before, but that she adds to it, she moans piquant nuggets of sugar and honey, according to Spindle, their brash consent. I really feel deepens those lines. I feel like there's really such a, like the idea of two people feeding each other, both physically and emotionally. So just really a beautiful write and very well done.
Well, that was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. Okay, I'm going to grab the next one. And this is by Robert Pulaski. And if you wouldn't mind, please, Pam.
Absolutely. Be happy to. This is Passion by Robert Pulaski, and it goes like that. Passion, a burning song flooding the mind, feverish delirium, the carnal knowledge never satisfied. It never lies. The pleasure drug takes so high, takes one fix after another. Hungry fingers dance, shiver, lost in the welcoming realm. Feel the spine's outline, inquisitive tongues move in waves, possessing trenches of desire. Setting out new boundaries, touch tender petals, blooming flower, melting into one tantalizing space, promised land, taste, the sweet crimson fragrance, heavy scented air to die and kill for. Passion, a touch of heaven, emotions overflow, mind goosebumps explode, echoing through embedded into memory, embracing ecstasy, wild delight. The phoenix rises above its own ashes. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. And how deeply passionate and sensual is this poem, filled with incredible imagery and emotions. Passion, a touch of heaven, emotions overflow, mind goosebumps explode, echoing thoughts and embedded into memory, embraced ecstasy, wild delight. The phoenix rises above its own ashes in little death, I'm sure. What did you think, Pam?
I found this particularly clever in the idea that it has such wonderful, some of it's very straightforward language, and some of it's really wonderful double entendre. Like that end line, you just know when the phoenix rises above its own ashes, there's going to be a round two or three. I have to say that is a particularly seductive picture that he's chosen to put with his picture, his write. And I like this all the way through, but I think I really particularly like second stanza with the references to the promised land. And I like how he says the sweet crimson fragrance. You know, to put the word fragrance along with a color, I think is just a really wonderful way to express the sensuality of the moment in an intelligent way. So I thought this was very well done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pam. Okay, so I have the next write-up. This is by Naomi Sarah, and it's called Meet Me in a Moan. Je femme, j'ai envie de toi, je veux savoir. Chaque centimètre de ton corps, toi et moi, nous, on sourit et gamissant. Il n'y a rien à rajouter. Your arms encircle me, caressing me in the warmth of a quilt, blanketing my body in the softness of chiffon clouds. My thirst for you flames up, a swollen moon. My nails ache for the touch of you, like yearning greens peeking out from under autumn's shade. My pulsating body strained as the chords of a violin aching to stretch its neck. My every nerve screaming for you, as irises bleeding in need of light. Oh, reach for me. Come meet me in a moan. Make me forget and burn to heal. Fire my name upon your tongue as rivers run through our bed. My soul sinking slowly down the river, drowning into yours. As throughout the night's soft lullaby, we row, 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 orbiting galaxies unknown, where the atmosphere meets the blooming water and boats of papier-mâché dock waiting for that eclipse. Where in our spirits meet without letting sleep take a breath. End poem. Whew, that was a little tough with the French, but, anyway, I think I got through it okay. But your arms encircle me, caressing me in the words of a quilt, blanketing my body in the softness of chiffon clouds. How beautifully descriptive is that? And then, as rivers run through our bed, my soul sinking slowly down the river, drowning in tears, as throughout a night's soft lullaby, we row, row, row. Just beautiful imagery, fantastic poem, Naomi. What did you think, Pam?
Ooh la la, mon Dieu, gray, mon Dieu. That and croissant is about the only French I know. So, you know, I was glad that you read it. I thought you did a wonderful job, and I thought this was beautifully written. I really even like the title, Meet Me in a Moan, that idea of the sounds of the music that two people make together. I like my pulsating body strained. At the chords on a as the chords on a violin aching to search its neck. Oh, reach for me, come meet me in a moan, make me forget and burn me to heal. I like the idea that the healing comes through the burning. I also like the way she centered this line, these lines, and there's a real nice kind of flow to them. There's a real sense of connection and just wonderful imagery all the way through, and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. Okay, I'm going to go to the next poem here. And when you see it, please, Pam.
Oh, sure. But just to let you know, you do have somebody in the studio. You have two somebodies in the studio.
Wow. Perfect. Thank you. Hello, caller 419. Who's calling, please?
Cal?
Hi, Cal.
Hi, Gray. Hi, Pam.
Welcome
hey, Cal,
to the show.
Good to hear you.
Hey, hey.
Okay, we have caller area code 410. Who's calling, please?
Martha Gettle.
Hi, Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Hi, everybody.
Did you get a chance to hear the last poem, Cal?
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
Sorry. Oh, hold on. Ooh, sorry about that. I've actually heard this one last week, and it's just a very touching, sensual, right, very beautifully done. Come meet me in a bone moan, make me forget and burn me to heal, fire my name upon your tongue. Oh, it's just really beautiful rhyme and flow, and the sensuality is absolutely amazing and very visually done, gorgeous, right.
Thank you, Cal. And how about you, Martha? Did you get a chance to hear that last poem?
No, I didn't get a chance to hear it.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you. Okay, so, Cal, would you mind reading for Marius Alexandru?
Not at all.
That's great. Thank you.
Okay. No barrier for our love, Marius Alexandru. This world would never be strong enough to put a barrier on our love. It could be hard, it could be rough. We'll conquer all the scary stuff, all the dark clouds above. When I am with you, when I see your smiles, when I see your tears, all of my skies are clear and blue. It's daily like my first I do. I am full of hope. My fear disappears. When in my dreams I can hear your voice, your laughter, I'm deaf to world screams. I walk with you beneath the trees, beside the stream, 1,000 years before, 1,000 years after. I'm not afraid of the passing time. I'm not afraid of shadows. I pour my love in every rhyme. There are no mountains we can't climb. I believe in colors. I believe in rainbows. I would never hurt you. When I saw your smiles, when I kissed your tears, from the first day I met you, I knew that what I feel is real and true. We'll dance together for another 1,000 years. End poem.
Beautiful read, Kel. And how touching is this poem, full of love and devotion? you know, from this lifetime into the next. I'm not afraid of the passing time. I'm not afraid of shadows. I pour my love in every rhyme. There are no mountains we can't climb. I believe in colors. I believe in rainbows. Yeah, just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree with you, Gray. This is a very touching poem. And I like that it's about love, but it's not about a frivolous love where two people just met and it's all about, you know, the physical attraction. There's a really a real idea of a partnership here, of two people who stand together and have strength, find strength in one another. And I really like this all the way through, but I particularly like that second to last stanza where he says, you know, I'm not afraid of passing time. I'm not afraid of shadows. I pour my love in every rhyme. There are no mountains we can't climb. I believe in colors. I believe in rainbows. There's really this idea of being with somebody who makes you feel like you can get through the shadows and climb those mountains. So really just a wonderful write and very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was beautiful. It was heart-lifting, and I thought it was a wonderful tribute to the one you love.
Great comment. Thank you. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I agree with everybody. This is just a very gorgeous, glorious poem on, you know, how much he loves his woman or whatever, you know. I really like We'll Dance Together for Another Thousand Years. That is just really very empowering and very tender. I can't help but love it. It's beautiful.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you, Kel. Okay, Martha, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, just a second.
Okay. Hello, Martha?
I got it here.
Okay.
Okay, Spend Some Time With Me, My Love, by Bookworm Dave 227. It was a cool night in September, and song that eludes me now. She purred as she asked me to dance, her dark red lipstick matching her long flowing red hair, her bright hazel eyes. Strong and funny as we danced, I gazed at her eyes. Between us was real. We danced slow and fast and slow that night, showered me with knowing love was here. We drank our cherry cokes. Her dress was a dark blue that flowed on her like a waterfall. Do you have a roommate home, she said, with a sly grin. Nope, I have the room to myself. So she purred and played with her back, let's go. I put on some music to keep the onlookers bored as we both kissed. Taking our time with each piece, kissing and rubbing, we did consummate our love with the lipstick-stained shirt and the purple and red on our necks. Falling asleep that night, wanting her for all time, remembering fondly her taste and the smile that takes me to her. End poem.
Beautiful read, Martha. And, this is a delightful poem, both youthful innocence and a beauty that shines through. You know, falling asleep that night, wanting her all the time, remembering fondly her taste and a smile that takes me to her. You know, so I'm assuming that, this is after the fact of the relationship finishing. But, it's a beautiful write. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I have to agree that this is he has a really good talent for story style writes and the kind of writes that take you like back into a memory And I like how he opens this up with a cool, it was a cool night in September. So he starts the tone there. I like how he is throws in those little details that makes you feel like you're really there in the moment. Like we drank our cherry Cokes and her dress was a dark blue that flowed on her like a waterfall. It's a wonderful, passionate write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I totally agree. It's like a very sweet, tender memory. It's really beautiful. I put on some music to keep the onlookers bored. As we both kissed, taking our time with each piece, kissing and rubbing. It kind of makes me think that, you know, maybe it was like a college thing, especially when she asked him about a roommate. You know, so it kind of makes me think that, you know, maybe he was in college or something. But, yeah, it was just really, really a sweet, tender little memory, and that's just quite wonderfully written.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful. It was full of love, and you could just feel the love in every line, and it made you feel good to read it.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I'd like to bring on another caller here. Hello, Bobby, and welcome to the show.
Hi. Good evening.
How are you doing? Evening.
I'm splendid. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm in a house full of women.
Then you ought to be, what, you're having a Tupperware party?
Yeah. No, but did you get to hear the last poem?
I did not, but I heard the comments, and it sounds like a wonderful piece. I'm going to have to go back and read it.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, thank you. So I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by Martha Gettle. Okay, so there's that. Get the link going here.
Do Your Job Well by Martha Gettle. I remember when I was a kid, Mom always said, you just do your job well and you'll get ahead. And I believed her, but these days I can't see how my mama's wisdom applies to me. I'm on the job without fail 5 days a week. For a better life I actively strive and seek. But it seems the more that I do, the more life is putting me through. Work is just a job now, a way to get by somehow. Any reward is long gone, and we all keep plodding on. That boss of mine, he's a hard man to please. Seems he's always looking down his nose at me. And no matter how hard I try, nothing that I do ever pleases that guy. Working is just a job now, a way to get by somehow. Any reward is long gone, and we all keep plodding on. There's so few rich people out there. The rest of us barely get by, it's hardly fair. So much money for so few, and just scrape by is all the rest of us can do.
Beautiful singing, Martha. And, you know, how true is this poem? You know, you work your 9 to 5 and hope to get by, but you lose the reward, and you have a boss that just doesn't listen to you, and you can't please him. So I thought it was fascinating, right? What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have to say, Martha, I'm always really glad for your support of the shows, and how you're always making SoundClouds and writing. I thought, as always, just a wonderful lyrical quality to your song, with great rhyme and flow. And I like how, you know, this starts out with the idea of, you know, feeling like you've applied your mama's wisdom, you know, and I like that you start out with that, where it says, and I believe, about mama giving wisdom, and you say, and I believed her, but those days I can't see how my mama's wisdom applies to me. Because here you are, and there's lost love, or here you are the character, and there's lost love, and it's beginning to feel like work is just that 9-to-5 that you put in, and there's no reward. And I think this is one of those songs that many people can relate to, in the idea that it does oftentimes feel like we're working just to barely keep our head above water, rather than working to fulfill a dream and be satisfied within the spirit. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Well, that was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, I agree with everything Pam has said. The fact, you know, we strive and work our butts off, and it just doesn't seem to get us anywhere. And I think we can all relate to having a boss that just doesn't seem to give a darn, you know. So it's just, yeah, very well done, well sung, and absolutely excellent poetry.
Thank you, Kel. And Martha, would you like to say anything about your poem?
Not really. I said it all in the poem.
Okay, thank you. And Bobby, what did you think of Martha's poem?
I always liked Martha's homespun wisdom. She's got a very got a gift for expressing things very accessibly, and this is no different. I mean, she's conjured something here that's very relatable to all of us. 9-to-5 job. My father used to say that people get trapped in jobs of expediency, and I never understood that until I started working. And by God, it's true. But it does. There's sometimes when it feels like an exercise in futility, and when it felt like that for me, I retired. It's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's a wonderful piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And Bobby, would you mind reading for Daniel DeShino?
Would I mind? No. I would not mind. Let me pull it up here. I'll channel Daniel. I'll see if I can sound like him. Although I don't know what he sounds like. All righty, here we go. Hidden voice. And he's got a note at the top that says, not every corner, nook, or cranny needs to be filled, but the spaces just be. Let them be empty like silence, a beautiful silence that can fill a void. In the void, less is more, and leaves room for vast potential. Poem. There is silence within the sound I hear, but it is beaten into non-existence by noise, like an abused child forgotten at school and hiding in his room. And all the silence wants is a chance at life. And the sounds of the world rage with unapologetic ego. They don't ask the air if they can penetrate it so violently. They don't wait patiently for the other sounds to scream and turn, and they do not ask my mind before they break in like a thief in the night to rob my memories of their innocence. But silence lay dormant like a flower in a battlefield, waiting to shine when the carnage is through. Who dares to see a flower through battlefield smoke? Who has the fortitude to hear what is not? Silence awaits those who will listen. End poem.
Beautiful, beautiful read, Bobby. And how deep is that poem? It really harkens to taking that moment to hear the silence and for what it is, and that's not, penetrating your mind space and robbing your thoughts of innocence. I thought it was just a wonderful poem, on the subject of silence. Just beautiful. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, absolutely. This is a beautiful and powerful rite. That second to last couplet where it says, who dares to see a flower through battlefield smoke, who has the fortitude to hear what is not? That really makes me think of the song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone? And this actually has the whole tone of the idea of a world that's abused and neglected and just ripping itself apart violently. There's such a sense, especially in that, I'd say, second stanza of a violation of the earth and a kind of sense of ignorance. But I like how this at the end of the poem, he asks us to take time to listen, to see the flower through the battlefield smoke. Just a beautiful, heartfelt rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I agree 100%. It kind of puts me in mind of a commercial we had back in the 70s and 80s, I think. It was supposed to be like a native chief. And in the background, there was a garbage dump and all this debris. And he's standing there with tears running down his cheeks at all the basically carnage that the people have thrown out on our earth. And, this kind of puts in mind like that, just like the song does with Pam. Matter of fact, when she mentioned the song, it made me think of this old commercial. God, that was an old one. But, we just need to pay attention to what's going on around us. Take time to listen to the world. Take time to, try to clean it up or whatever, Just listen, because it has something to say. Beautiful done. Beautifully done.
Thank you, Kel. Fascinating comment. And Martha, what did you think?
Well, it made me think of silence, like when you're in a room and somebody's got the music going loud or there's all kinds of noise around you, and all of a sudden it just stops. And what a blessing it feels like, just the silence surrounding you. And as the poem makes you appreciate silence.
Absolutely.
It was very well written.
Great comment. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I couldn't tell you why, but for some reason, by the way, I like Pam's comment about the one stanza sounds like violation. It really does. But I'm reminded, for some reason, from the about the speech from Shakespeare's Macbeth. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage, and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury and signifying nothing. And that's what it made me think of, told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. How many people do we know that say so much? I mean, they talk so much, but they say so little. It just reminds me is when, there was some, again, I'm going to quote from another film. There is one character who says, I don't know what to say to that. And the other character says, when you have nothing to say, it is a time to be silent. elegant in its simplicity, obvious, you would think, but not to everyone. There are some people that are just so made so uncomfortable by silence that they'll fill it with anything rather than sit in it. And I think this is a beautiful piece. I already chucked it away in my favorites.
Great. That's a great comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Cal, I have your poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
All right. Just give me a second to get to it. Fool warrior. Whether you punch the clock or go to war depends on what you are fighting for, justice, freedom, or even a paycheck. For it is what warriors fight against. Lose a battle or rant at the boss, think of what the consequences cost. War is fought by other brave soldiers, not alone in the struggle to survive, all battling to preserve a way of life. Power is in the heart and the minds. Flex your brain to help you decide. Battlefields to boardrooms, a hero's life is knowing what you are fighting for. End poem.
Beautiful read, Kel. And, you know, this is a thoughtful poem full of fantastic imagery. War is fought by other brave soldiers, not alone in the struggle to survive. All battling to preserve a way of life. Power is in the heart and mind. Flex your brain to help you decide. And then, you know, where you say life is knowing what you're fighting for. Just haunting in its simplistic and direct message. Beautifully done, Kel. Pam, what did you think?
I have to agree. I too like the direct message of this. I definitely think it was a well-deserved gold in the warrior contest. I like how two things I really like about this is, first of all, the fact that you basically there's the idea that there are battles of all kinds, whether it's, you say, as you say, whether you punch a clock or go to war. You know, we all have our own battles. I also really like the end line where you say life is knowing what you are fighting for. You know, don't be a fool that's blind to what other people are putting you up to fight for, but you know, you have to know what's important to you. And then the other thing I really like is that the idea that you put in here, or at least that comes to my mind when I listen to you read this, is that no matter what battle you are fighting, no matter where you are standing as a warrior, your best weapon to have is a sharp mind. So just really an excellent write, Cal, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Cal, would you like to say anything about your write?
What?
Would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, I think you were both doing very well.
Thank you, Cal. Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was really good, very enjoyable. It had a really good message, and it made you think about things you don't often think about.
Well said. Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what did you think?
I really like this piece. It is simple, it's concise, but it's powerful. It has a lot, all of battling to preserve a way of life. Power is in the heart and the minds. Flex your brain. Fields to board fields, boardrooms of heroes. Life knowing what you're fighting for. That is so profound. It is breathtakingly simple, but it's so overlooked so often. I really think this is a very fine piece, Cal.
Thank you very much,
great
everyone. We appreciate that.
Absolutely, and we appreciate you. Thank you for sharing.
Aw.
Okay, so let me grab the next poem here. This is by Poetic Picasso. And I know you're listening, Frank, so here we go. Okay, and there's the poem. Now I just got to play SoundCloud.
I saw an angel near, on a bench so clear, a smile on her face, from another place. I looked into her eyes, she was the sunrise. I touched her cheek, she did not even speak. I knew she was divine, auburn rays of sunshine, a reflection of purity in the form of her beauty. I told her, do not say a word, let me hum to you like a bird, then whisper into your ear a gentleness of love so dear. I said to her, look at me, you are so beautiful to see. Be forever my guiding light, shining on my gloomy night. You are the breath of love, with wings of a morning dove, under the clouds of a rainbow, waiting for the fading afterglow. You must be an angel, unique and so special. I'll fly away with you upon the vast sky so blue. You're beautiful, it's true, an infusion of celestial hue. If you have to go far away, I'll wait for you every day. Eres el color de mi sol, la luz de mi luna entera, el nombre de mi amor, todo lo que respiro hoy. You are the color of my sun, the light of my whole moon, the name of my love, all that I breathe today. You're beautiful. It's true. Oh, you're beautiful to me, and it's true. In the boom.
Well, that was a fantastic read, Frank. And such a touching poem, full of love and reverence. You know, you can feel the connection to your angel in this world. I mean, in this rite. But yeah, you create a world of your own here, where you are the breath of love with the wings of a morning dove under clouds of a rainbow, waiting for the fading afterglow. Just an amazing rite, Frank. And, you know, so touching. Deeply penned. What did you think, Pam?
I have to agree. This is definitely really touching. First of all, I thought on a technical level, it had such wonderful rhyme and flow, and it had a very, like, classic poem feel to it. You know, like, this feels like one of those poems that will, 100 years from now, people will read and relate to it. And I like how it's, again, a wonderful poem about that connection between two people. I really like, you are the breath of love with wings of a morning dove under the clouds of a rainbow waiting for the fading afterglow. You must be an angel, unique and so beautiful. I'll fly away with you upon a vast sky so blue. Just wonderful lines there and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I simply love this. It has a very lovely, tender cadence, and it's, what I was looking for a little bit ago was reverence. It has an amazing reverence for this woman, and it's just really lovely.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cal. And Martha, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. The imagery was so pure, you could almost see the whole thing unfold in front of you as it was read. It was a beautiful job.
Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what did you think?
Well, I heard the word cadence already, so I'm not going to say that. I heard the word rhyme. I'm not going to say that either. But what this is a love letter. It is such a sweet and dear piece. It's very, very deeply romantic. I mean, this is just such a lovely writing by Frank. And it has an ethereal quality to it because I saw an angel, and he's brought this angel to earth. And he's done it with such lovely language. And you're beautiful,
okay.
It's true. Vision of celestial hue. It's really very, very lovely piece.
Well, good. Thank you, Bobby. And you're up next, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, me?
Yeah, you bet.
Let me take a sip of tea. Okay, give me a moment to orient myself. I'm completely off balance now. Oh, here we are. Okay. And I do this also for Pam because she's heard me complain that I'm terrible at brevities. Well, I've been practicing, Pam. So I got this gold the other day, and I wanted to share it because I'm finally getting better at brevities. And this is 6 lines. So it'd be tough to be briefer, but I've done it. Anyway, her contest by Lynn Gauthier. I'm really enjoying her contest. And the prompt was a picture just of someone's hands and holding a cell phone. That's what the prompt was. And so I came up with, talk to me. We've taken communication mobile in the 21st century. We've all grown quite dependent on this technology. To the powers of the Internet, all have become a devotee. Instant gratification at our fingertips for the slightest inquiry. But as addictive as this modern electronic marvel can be, sweetheart, do me a favor. Put the phone down and talk to me. End poem.
Bravo. Great statement on today's society and, you know, the norm of being attached to your phone, and it's the only thing you're looking at, whether you're with your loved one or in a crowd. You know, it's mind-boggling that people are walking into traffic looking at their phone, you know, being killed that way more and more every day.
Very true.
And,
I got assaulted by a woman who ran into me because she was looking at her cell phone. She ran into me. I suggested that she's the next thing I know, I'm getting pushed down.
Oh, wow. And that's off the menu. Total disconnection from, you know, any kind of civility there.
Truly.
Wow. Sorry to hear that, Bobby. But, no, it was a fabulous statement on, you know, the 21st century and where we are with it. And, you know, how engaged we are in this little black screen that provides so much detriment to, you know, our society today. And I thought it was just a fascinating take on that, Bobby. Excellent read as well.
Thank you.
And Pam, what did you think?
I really like this one. I like how you use the imagery and straightforward language to remind us of how much technology has really taken over our lives. And, you know, we've all grown quite dependent on this technology. To the powers of the Internet, all have become a devotee. There really is, you know, it's funny because throughout history, mankind has created gods, statues, things to be worshipped. And now we we think we've created technology to help us, but it's almost getting to that point where we've created technology as yet another gold calf to be worshipped. And I think this is a wonderful thought-provoking brevity in just six short lines that you really captured the whole essence of how we need to put that phone down and learn once again to communicate face-to-face. So very well done, Bobby.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. It was a great comment. And Kel, what did you think?
Well, I will admit that I've been caught in that trap. Be over at my daughter's, and everybody's yicking and yakking around me. So I'll pick up my phone and just start, you know, doing whatever. And next thing I know, they're hollering, porn, porn. And I look at them and say, what? I said, well, now we know how to get your attention. You know, if I pick up my phone, they say, porn, porn. Oh, come on.
Yeah. Oh my
goodness. In the trap. You know, if you're not involved with whatever's going on, you pick up your phone and you just start, you know, playing a game or looking at Facebook or whatever, you know, and it's really easy to get caught up in it. But, you know, I've tried not to do that as much at my daughter's house than I used to. But I do everything on my phone except watch TV. And that's because the screen is too small. But this is very well this is very well done. I like the little sense of humor that's thrown into it. But it also has a very deep, profound meaning behind it. So well done, Bobby. Very well done. And
thank
it's like
thank you very much.
Short lines. Good job.
I'm getting better at it.
Powerful, and Martha, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was great. It made me think when I was at the airport and I was looking around. Everybody around me was looking at their phone, and I was thinking back to the days when you could actually be in a crowd or sitting by somebody and you actually talk to each other, get to know somebody instead of both of you just stuck on your phone, not caring what's going on around you. That was really well done.
Yeah. Thank you. I made a point. I've canceled. I've closed my Facebook account. I haven't been on it in about a year and a half, 2 years. So I just closed it. And I made a point of taking all the games off my iPad and my phone. So,
yeah,
I did. I mean, that try that and see if you don't experience some withdrawal. But I did that, and now I find myself actually reading news, and in the supermarket, I don't pick up the phone except my shopping list on it. But seriously, this was a number of years ago. I was on the metro platform. I was on the metro platform headed toward. One side, and this woman who's got a bag under each arm looks like she's going away for the rest of her life, and she's intent on the screen on her phone. And I think Kel and Pam and Mark can understand that I'm to the point in my life where I abrogate any responsibility for somebody with something someone else does. So I just kept walking. She ran into me. And before I could say anything, she starts hurling vituperations at me. And I suggested that perhaps she would have been better off had she not been intent on her phone. I got more ugliness thrown at me. And so I made the same suggestion. The next thing I know, the woman's got her fingers in my face, wagging her fingers. So I smiled and tried to push her hand out of the way. And I got straight-armed. And I almost got knocked off the metro platform onto the rails.
Oh my God!
Me that hard. Yeah. And for being a retired Marine, I mean, it just shook me to the core because I thought I could handle anything. Not true. I mean, but I I thought about it, and I actually, after thinking about it for a day or so, wasn't angry with her because I thought to myself, anyone who reacts that extremely with violence, you got to wonder what life has handed them. So I actually felt sorry for her. Yeah, but I tell you, you got to be careful when people are walking around with their phones. You know, I've seen some walk into fountains. I've seen some walk into traffic. And I had one walk into me.
Yeah. No doubt. Thank you for sharing that, Bobby. Okay, Pam, well, I've got your write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Okay, well, first of all, I have to say, Bobby, it's your fault this poem is being read right now. Because as soon as you said, this is six lines, and you can't get much shorter than that, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go grab my 10-word poem.
Oh, good.
And now you're going to read it. So this was actually written for one of Chris Bond's contests, and it was not a gold winner, only a bronze. And it was you had to write a poem, title it the A poem, and have the only 10 words, and all 10 words had to start with the letter A. So,
oh, my goodness.
You're right. And with that being said, this is the A poem. Applied atoms artistically arranged allow anthropological authorship among authoritarian atrocities. End poem.
Wow.
That was great.
Yeah, bravo. Fantastic, Pam. You know, to me, this looks like a gold winner. You know, it's impactful for something that's so preordained. You know, it really hits home. With the applied atoms artistically arranged to allow anthropological authorship among authoritarian atrocities. You know, it's really fascinating that you got that all written in there. Just beautiful, Pam. What did you think,
Kel?
Thank you. Absolutely.
Oh, I loved it. I don't know how it didn't get gold. I mean, this is really well done. For 10 words, all starting with A, and it all makes sense. It makes absolute sense. And it's awesome. So, good job, Pam.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And Martha, what did you think?
I thought it was great. It was an excellent job to be able to take all those A words and put them together and make them makes sense with only 10 of them. That was excellent work. I was very impressed.
Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what did you think?
I'm impressed. I really enjoyed that. To do that and have it make sense, I know, is a challenge. I responded to a similar contest. You reminded me of one I did. I can't remember who hosted the contest, but it had to be 7 words, and they all had to have a Q in them somewhere. But I didn't. Fortunately, I didn't have to start each one of them with a Q. I don't think I could have done that.
No,
but this was great.
That would have been
really
tricky.
Enjoyed it. What's that?
That would have been tricky using the letter Q.
It did. Well, here's what I came up with. Unquestionably tranquil, eloquently quirky, consequently, quintessentially quixotic.
I like that.
Yeah.
Bobby.
But Pam shows us how nimble you have to be to do something like this and still have something that doesn't sound like rubbish. So great job, Pam.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm going to put the next poem up. This is by Rhonda Itzori, and it's called Tipsy by Nature's Paintbrush. The breath of wood, enticing senses, the mystic, resinous odor of pine needles, blending with the perfume of the delicate braids of untamed grapes. Wealthy hills jeweled with creeping flocks, filling the air with a heavenly scent that rivaled lilacs. The smiling silk creak ushered in that magical floating memories. The blanketing sun peering over through the blue visible sky, circling her head like a golden crown. The shades of bright costumes of trees with fleshy leaves, waving softly in the breeze, dancing a slow waltz. Standing in stark contrast to the showy wildflowers, the sprinkling the woods carpet, shaped and colored by a skillful artist, wakened after a tough winter to welcome the approaching summer season. The fairy pathos of passion, spilling gracefully, pulse beat 100 to the minute, murmuring ethereal songs and beckoning a new taste of life. Well, that was a fabulous poem, both mystical and magical metaphors, just beautifully expressed. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, this is one of those rites that, you know, I've heard it before, but it's so worth hearing again. She has such elegant use of imagery. I like how she has the idea of nature being the artist. I like especially that there's wonderful alliteration in here with standing in stark contrast against the showy wildflowers sprinkling the woods carpet, shaped and colored by a skillful artist. Just a wonderful tribute to all the beauty and glory of nature. So very well done.
Well said. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was really gorgeous. I'm here. This is really, really beautiful writing. My favorite is the blanketing sun peering over through a blue visible sky, circling her head like a golden crown. That's really awesome. I never thought of putting it like that. Yeah, this was just very colorful, and, you know, she's got a real reverence for nature and all that it has to offer. It's just beautiful.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. And Martha, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was beautiful, the imagery and the words. If you followed along, you could just picture the whole thing in your mind. I especially like the shades of the bright costumes of trees with fleshy leaves waving softly in the breeze, dancing a slow waltz. It was just beautiful.
Well said. Thank you, Kel. And Martha.
Bobby?
Oh, Bobby, sorry.
That's all right. Oh, all parts are interchangeable. This is a beautiful word picture. It just paints such a vivid and colorful and tactile picture of nature. Wealthy hills jeweled with creeping locks. And that just blankets wherever it grows, and it's just amazing to see blue sky over her head like a golden crown. It is just the whole thing. It just paints such a vivid, beautiful, colorful word picture that it is such a stimulating thing to read.
Absolutely, thank you for that great comment, Bobby. Okay, I have the next poem up, and it's by Bartley Bach, and he has a SoundCloud.
The Greenwood Gale. I snitch words from tips of branches, sail close to troubled souls, solar springs beneath my fingers, wisps of greenwood gale. Curry aloft on silver dale, buried in mudsy scrolls, mountain dragons on stonewort walls, townsfolk stalking trolls. In Storybrook and Purple Fell, over Wollamai Pine let's fly, Blackwood Forest and Cranky Spell, our ordnance supply. O eye of mind, my stomach pale, quack of quail and shrew, ghostly gum, black lightning cry on mountain cockatoo. Aye, snitch words from tips of branches sail close to troubled souls. Solar springs beneath my fingers, wisps of greenwood gale. In Fairy Falls, the Echo Bluff, the Glen in autumn gown, the Tiger Quoll on figs and lime, funnel web boast the crown. Cattlefish markets, custard apples, pink's mammoth orange pillow, beastly munchmallow Banksia men feast on sunset willow. Bearded dragon and eastern brown, they slither through snowdrop's dew. Bold ginger skies in winter down, great southern bite she blew. We grieving sons and merry widows, entombed in Brockworth Abbey, Cox and Hartley, malting barley, moonshine in the belfry. I snitch words from tips of branches, sail close to troubled souls. Solar springs beneath my fingers, wisps of greenwood gale. My mother's bluebell lavender quill, ink on springwood spray, wasps and bees the heavens spill, king parrots mellow fray. Gangs of green and golden bellfrog, castle runes and twisters, darling blue tongue, red-bellied tails, trails and redwood whispers. Dead set ringers, cello and chime, gumnut slingers shot through, mass in cricket and summer rhyme, as Walter and Sinner sing. Wattle and sunflower, saffron, glory, star bright yellow, glowing in a labyrinth, green, west of Woodford Meadow. Hakia and pink casarina, sweet rumble, odlet brew. Pillars, the starry ether, temples in mountains blue. I snitch words from tips of branches, sail close to troubled souls. Solar springs beneath my fingers, whisper greenwood gale.
Well, how beautiful was that sound, Cloud, right? I mean, I just, I was a little kid listening to an old man sit and tell you the history of the Greenwood Gale. And, you know, it was just fascinating, masterfully crafted mystical imagery and just a beautiful connection to this Greenwood Gale. Haunting, for sure. What did you think, Pam?
I really liked this one. Yeah, and you're right. There's a wonderful sound cloud. He really balanced out the music and the reading. And he went with the Celtic kind of music, really added to the atmosphere. I like how there's almost a surreal quality to this. Like you feel like you're being taken back in time or to a world completely created in his mind. I really like Cattlefish Markets, Karsted Apples, Pink Bamas, Orange Petals, Beastly Orange Mellows, Banksia Men, Feast on Sunset Willows. There's something about the surrealism of that line that just makes my mind go, wow, you know. Wonderful imagery. And like I said, it's just, it's one of those rites that is absolutely magical and just grabs your attention in the first line and keeps it all the way through. So very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
Oh, good golly, this was amazing. It's very delightful and mystical and just... God, I can't think of the words. This is absolutely amazing. I love the SoundCloud. I love the music. It has a Celtic or a Gaelic feel to it. You can almost hear the bagpipes. It's just really amazing writing. Full of color and imagery and everything. It's just beautiful. I'm gonna stop there.
Well, that was a great comment. Thank you, Kel. And Martha, what did you think?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I loved the first verse and the way he followed through with the verse throughout the poem. It was just wonderful. You could just practically see everything he was talking about. Totally impressed.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Martha. And Bobby, what did you think?
This is an impressive piece. His knowledge of flora and fauna. This is rich with all of many things that are indigenous to Australia. I'm sitting here doing some research while I was reading and listening. The wallaby pines, stonewort is a type of algae found there. The tiger quoll is a type of marsupial. I mean, it is just punctuated richly with a really impressive and almost reverential parade of wildlife from Australia. But what I find interesting is Gael is short for Gaelic, which is supposed to be an Irish person. So this is interesting that he's cross-pollinated here, Australian flora and fauna, and he says wisps of Greenwood Gael. But I believe Gael also means is a person of Gaelic ancestor, but I think it also means rich. I'm not sure. Blessed or generous, I think, is what it means in Gaelic. But this is just an amazing, amazing rite. I mean, like I said, I'm impressed. He must have 24 different kinds of flora in here, cassowary and the wattle, everything. Being a gardener, I'm really impressed by this piece.
Wow,
and I do agree with the other comments that it does have a very mystical quality to it.
Absolutely, yes. But thanks for sharing all that, Bobby. We appreciate it. Good to know. And
hey, Bobby.
Pam, I have a...
Blue tongue twisters. Those are also lizards.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, my husband
and
almost bit my one once.
No way.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Okay, Pam, I have the next write-up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
You want me to read the same poem I read at the beginning of the show?
No, not at all. Let me go back and grab another link here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not too sure how that happened.
Probably because she entered the same poem in two different contests of yours. And because we were doing carryovers from The Art of Seduction at the beginning of the show. And
yeah. Gotta be it. Thank you, Pam.
Yeah, no problem. And this is Crashing Waves by Here in My Heart. And it goes like this. Waves crashing along the shoreline. Sounds of thunder. Waves crashing, touching my heart with a sweet caress. Underneath the skies of cerulean blue. A beautiful sight to see for you and me. Waves crashing. End poem.
It was a beautiful read and a picturesque poem. You know, you can see all this as it's happening. You know, waves crashing along the shoreline, sounds of thunder. And then, you know, you can feel it touch her heart and with a sweet caress underneath the skies of cerulean blue. A beautiful sight to see for me and you. Yeah, just a beautiful little brevity. What did you think, Kel?
Oh, wow, it just takes you to the cliffs, doesn't it? This is really beautiful. Waves crashing along the shoreline, sounds of thunder. I mean, it's just really, for being a brevity, she puts in a lot of visionary sights. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kel. And Martha, what did you think?
Oh, Martha had to go.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I really like this brevity. It's got some strong emotion in it. Just the words waves crashing conjures the sight and sound of it, which is great. Touching my heart with a sweet caress underneath the skies of cerulean blue. It is a quick, powerful painting. It's a beautifully done piece.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so I have the next write-up, and this is by Albert Sheppers, and he has a time about that. Oh, it didn't make it to this. Didn't make it to the board. Uh-oh. Okay. Bobby, would you mind reading for Albert?
Not at all.
Thank
Pigeons,
you.
Too. Pigeons walk the streets of Beijing, Toronto, Bucharest, Amsterdam, Bogota. They are the same shades of gray or brown and iridescent greens and blues. When startled, they fly to rooftops, building ledges, or bronze statues in the parks. We ignore them, accept them. They are a simple nuisance, tolerated as they are quiet, pretty. We throw them crumbs from time to time and watch them gather, the strong pushing the weak aside, fighting for crumbs. Pigeons, too, ignore the poor and destitute, roaming our worldly city streets. End poem.
Wow, that was a insightful little rate. You know, when you think of pigeons being littering the streets around the world, where they fly to rooftops and building ledges or bronze statues in the park. We ignore them. We accept them. They are a simple nuisance, tolerated as they are quiet and pretty. We throw them crumbs from time to time and watch them gather, the strong pushing the weak aside, fighting for crumbs. You know, how true is that? Such a descriptive and powerful write on the subject of pigeons. Yeah, you don't really think about them too much, but here you're forced to. And I thought it was beautifully written. What did you think, Pam?
Yeah, I thought this was just a wonderful write. I'd actually like to see more of Albert Schepper's poetry on the shows. I really like how he brings us into, I think, relatable imagery for many. This makes me think about being at a Greyhound bus station in New York City and just seeing it covered, like the pigeons just walking around. And to me, it was a novelty. But to people who have been there regularly, yeah, there are people just walking by completely ignoring it. But I think the real strength in this right comes in the idea that it's not just about the pigeons, but how we ignore the pigeons. And I think those last two lines are particularly important, as how the pigeons, it too, ignore the poor and the destitute. And so I really feel like this whole poem has that wonderful vibe of the idea how we try to ignore the homeless, the poor, the downtrodden, because it messes with our sensibilities, with our way of how we think life should be. So, it, you know, I like that this is not just about ignoring the pigeons, but rather about ignoring those that are in need of help. It's kind of like the idea about the selfishness of mankind. So it's just a wonderful write and very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think?
I agree with Pam. I did enjoy that parallel that he drew. And this is a subtle piece, so subtle, because you're wondering when you're reading it, where is it going? I think, okay, he's talking about pigeons. And he makes a valid point in the first stanza. They're everywhere. I remember when I was in Venice, at St. Mark's Square, they're every place, and they will land on you if you let them, which is nasty. But we ignore them and accept them, and they are a simple nuisance. But then he goes on to say that, like Pam said, the last two lines, the pigeons too ignore the poor and destitute. And so it says, as we give no, look upon pigeons as of no consequence because they are a lower life form and not worth our attention. The pigeons regard the poor and destitute the same way we regard the pigeons. And we regard the poor and destitute the same way we regard the pigeons. It's just, it is so poignant. And so deeply profound.
Yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly in what you said there, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next write-up, and this is by Essam Achiba, and it's called Hidden Treasures.
Okay.
Everyone is a hiding... Sorry?
Nothing.
Hidden Treasures. Everyone is a hidden treasure. Everyone wants to be known, to be heard before eternal silence. Only the brave can make it through the storms. Even the violent wind does not last forever. Things end, and what remains are only words that travel beyond the passage of time, recreating reflection of who we are and what we were, revealing the blazing light we behold within our hearts, return to the root of oneself. End poem. And that was a powerful write, you know. It really hints to the beauty in us all when we shine our blazing light and, you know, we can get through any storm because the winds don't last forever. But, yeah, I thought it was an amazing write for such a short brevity. And what did you think, Pam?
I really enjoyed and appreciated this one. It's one of those that's just filled with philosophical wisdom. And I like it all the way through, but I particularly like how the ending stanza reminds us to search within ourselves for that inner light, that inner strength, you know, and just kind of return to the root of that inner strength. So absolutely a beautiful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Kel, what did you think?
I'm sorry, I missed it. I'm going to pass.
Okay, no problem. Bobby, what did you think?
Very metaphysical write. As you said, it's an elegant brevity. The language is, from a technical point of view, the language is very approachable. It's a very economical write, but it says so much in its 70-plus words. Things end, and what remains are only words that travel beyond the passage of time, recreating reflections of who we are and what we are. And I would take that a step further, and not only words, but whatever we create creatively, an artwork or what have you, that lives beyond us. We recreate a reflection of who we are and what we were. But it's I'm hesitant to pick anything out of there that to highlight it, because it all ties together so beautifully and means so much. Very powerful.
Absolutely. That was a beautiful comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got a recording by Sam Liu. He's on the board there, so here we go.
The Taker in Two. We are two strangers. We are two mouths with too much to say. We are two pairs of legs on an unimpressive couch you probably found at some flea market downtown. We could have gone to a motel with more flair and fervor that would make me feel just as cheap. And you share too many body parts for my comfort. Fingers and fives, both thighs against my side, and your two pouring eyes burn twin rouge rims below mine. I am two cold hands, as your telltale touch only tramples on the best cuts of my meat. We are two smiles, but notice how mine shivers and creases like your unironed shirt. And unlike your Caracara Lear, I am dimpleless in your dilapidated den. You turn on a movie so we can be two moviegoers right in your laughable living room. Am I the film now? The coming-of-age novel you read in text, now adapted for major motion picture. I may be the stray dog, but somehow wandered into your taloned grasp, and it has just dawned on me how there is two in tandem, in proximity too close, and my left profile now rakes your demanding stubble, and you take my mouth, my legs, my strange company, my sorry smile and swallow, Adam's apple crunching at my innocence, shaving away the sterling white rind, when we become two lips enjammed in the literature of my patchwork passion, your tongue tearing down my throat, biting out the raw nerves of stem green, my esophagus becomes a landfill of your 200 trysts. The pellet piles, the taste of turmoil, roiling on my tongue, telling me this is too much. There's too many you've taken to call this special. You use the bathroom, and I am left in black, in the silent static shroud of the silver screen, sucked back out to the sky. I am the prey of bird. Pathetic. Now roadkill wreathed. Life taken. Now gray. In your living room.
Well, that was a beautiful SoundCloud. You did a fascinating job, a fantastic job of reading it. But what a fascinating write, you know. It's full of metaphors and cryptic and deep. You know, I may be the stray dog that somehow wandered into your talent grasp, and it has just dawned on me now how there is two in tandem, in proximity, too close. In my left profile now rates your demanding stubble. Yeah, I thought it was just a beautifully penned metaphoric write. What did you think, Pam?
Well, I have to say, at first this one kind of unnerved me. You know, like I was taken aback and almost considered not commenting. But then I thought, you know, this is a really actually a raw, honest write, because to me, from what I get from it, it is about that first-time experience of physical lust that's almost, there's this idea really of it being forced. There's really this idea of almost the you can feel the uncomfortableness, feel that the person that is experiencing this doesn't really want it. You know, and so while it is an unnerving poem, I think it's a poem that definitely deserves commenting on because first of all, it is on a difficult subject because not everyone's first-time experience of physical passion is one that is beautiful. Some of them do make you feel like that stray dog trapped in a talon grasp. And I do think that this young man has just a powerful imagery and metaphors throughout, and it's a really hard-hitting write with strong emotion. So absolutely very well done.
Great comment. Thank you, Pam. And I see it from your perspective too now. Bobby, what did you think?
I also think this is a very powerful write. I also think it's a very courageous write. Because to put forth this kind of candor and raw emotion about an encounter, an intimate encounter, is to me it takes a lot of fortitude and a lot of confidence in yourself and trust in your audience. I mean, but you've got some great lines in here. The visual imagery, you can, like Pam said, The emotion in this is palpable. The discomfort, the uncertainty, and just the raw encounter. Your tongue tearing down my throat, biting out the raw nerves of stem green. It is so beautifully descriptive though. And I think it's relatable, too, regardless of whether it's a heterosexual or same-sex. It's still bespeaks of an encounter that perhaps was not as compassionate as the person would have liked.
Yeah, I agree. Well, excellent comment, you two. Fabulous. And Pam, if you wouldn't mind reading the next one for me, please, by Ishak Notsky.
I would be happy to. This is California Wildfires by A. Shignovsky, and it goes like this. The acrid smell of smoke is in the air. A somber cloud of gray hangs everywhere. The temperature is 92 degrees. The raging fire engulfs the tall pine trees. And like a ravenous, raving, angry beast, it devours all before it is. It is as it feasts, roaring through the lofty native trees, fanned by a swiftly flowing summer breeze. All the native birds have taken flight, and now the woodland creatures face the plight. A unable to escape the raging fire, many a hapless beast will soon expire. The days pass by, but still the fire spreads, and now a country village slides ahead. The desperate firefighters risk their lives, braving flames that others may survive. Their battle lost, the fire rages on, and many village people now have gone. But some remain trying to defend their precious homes until the bitter end. And every summer when the fires return, lives are lost and many a home will burn. But though they suffer hardship and much pain, they build new homes and life begins again. End poem.
Yeah, that's haunting, you know, when you think of all the wildlife that suffers and the people that suffer and those that, you know, want to protect their home so they don't leave until they have to or it's too late, they actually expire. You know, just haunting imagery throughout this, right? And very, very powerful poem. What did you think, Bobby?
I agree. It is a very powerful, like a lot of vivid visual imagery. And it is a tragic truth also, in that so much is lost under these fires, not only in California, but in Australia, the problems they had with wildfire as well. It is also a tale not only of a loss, but of bravery and of courage to start anew, because the last stanza reminds us that it happens every year, and the people that are there, they endure and they start over again. So that takes a lot of courage. So this is a very well chronicled, it's good storytelling, and it has a great point.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. And Pam, what did you think of the poem?
I really liked this, and I believe, if I remember right, Asianowski is from Australia, and I always, you know, my heart always goes out to areas like Australia and California where the wildfires just spread, and it's just part of nature, but it's such a destructive part, and you know the people who, not only the firefighters, but the people themselves who have to survive and rebuild. There's really, to me, I have an admiration for them. I just think this was a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Great comment. And Bobby, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
I would not mind. Okay. Go to the... Alrighty. Are we reading, let's see, What is Life?
Yes.
I read Summertime. What is life? And it is a rondo. Burning questions inside I ought to spin. Where does space end? And where does our time dim? And if forever will ever exist, why the me that I'm donned and moral twist? Where would be someday the me that I've been? Isn't life under the sun a brief, dire dream? Will downward life take me far in between? Will the me that I am stay in the midst? Burning questions inside I ought to spin. I wish to die and live forevermore. In every gust of wind I want to roar amidst the realm lights and life's long shifts, savor the soul's delights in languid drifts. For it's nice to come home and rest ashore, burning questions inside I had for war. End poem.
Well, you know, that was definitely, you know, heavy-hearted. You know, you can feel the anguish and the pain in the words, Isn't life under the sun a brief and dire dream? Will downward life take me far in between? Will the me that I am stay in the midst? Burning questions inside, I ought to spin. Life is a whirlwind, and it's full of its ups and downs. And, you know, you can hope to live and die forevermore, and in every gust of wind, roar. But that's not always the case, but all you can do is try. So I thought it was beautifully written. What did you think, Pam?
Well, actually, if you don't mind, Kel hasn't commented in a while. Maybe you'd like to get a comment from her?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, Kel, would you mind commenting, please?
Not at all, Gray. Thank you, Pam. I think this is kind of something that we all question ourselves about every now and then. And why am I here? What do I have to offer? You know, am I still going to be here after such and such time or whatever, you know? But, yeah, it's a very deep and heartfelt poem. Very well done on questioning our reasons for being. It's beautiful.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you. And, Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a really nice form poem, and I really like how it did have that philosophical, thought-provoking lines, you know, that made us question our purpose in life. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
Well, that was a great comment. Thank you, Pam. And Bobby, what did you think of the poem that you read?
I don't know why, but it seems to me that when you take a serious topic like what is life and you present it in a highly structured format like a sonnet or a rondo, it's something that has very strict confines, it seems that when you can bring it through, it seems to have much more impact to me. I don't know why. But he's taken a serious topic, structured from a technical point, beautifully, and expressed his emotions with such elegance in this that something that has an elegant structure to begin with becomes even more beautiful. So this is just, I really enjoy this piece, and I've already tucked it away in my favorites.
Well, that's an awesome comment. Well, I'd like to thank you all for calling in to share your hearts, your minds, your voices, and most especially your time. I appreciate and love you all. Much love, everybody. Good night.
Aw, shucks. Good night.
Good night, Bobby. Thank you for calling.
Oh, well.